Back. You're listening to Money Talks on AM 920. I'm Matt Hames here with Charlie Holloway and Troy Harmon. All right, well, let's move on and talk about a little case study here for a few minutes, and we're going to touch on this in this segment. We may pick it up some in the next segment as well, but we've been doing this all year long, and we've covered various subjects along the way. This week, we've got what is maybe a little bit timely. Obviously, we hope all these are timely, but this one, given some of the political statements that have been made in the past week or so by the president, and then also just, you know, we hear it a good bit. It's becoming a bigger and bigger subject. The case study description is basically we've got Margo, who is divorced. She's single. So, Charlie, in your area of expertise there from a planning perspective, may touch on that. But what her situation here is, she's 52 years old. She's a dental hygienist, makes good money, has made good money, has been saving and basically handling it herself. And she's done real well in the past, but she's getting to a place where she realizes she's probably 10, 15 years away from hanging it up. And now she's accumulated a dollar amount that's getting to a place where it's intimidating her a little bit. She's up near almost $750,000, $785,000 in total assets she saved through 401k, IRA contributions she's made, taxable savings and whatnot. But all in all, the point here is she's at a place where she thinks she needs to get some help. And she doesn't really know what to do. She's got a sister who's been using a broker for the last 25 years, a brother who uses an RIA for asset management purposes, and then she's got a best friend who uses a CFP who actually works for a bank, who works for one of the big bank advisory practices. And she doesn't really know, so what's the difference between a broker and an RIA? Mm-hmm. Pros, cons, good, bad. Obviously, we've got a perspective on it because of how Hensler Financial's set up. But, I mean, Charlie, what's your first comments on how somebody should think about this?
Well, I think the first place you want to start is just common sense. Is when you're interviewing these individuals, whether they be a broker or whether they be like us here at Hensler, which is an RIA, you need to be working with someone that you trust. Mm-hmm. Either they come as a referral from someone, so that's not to take a knock on all brokers out there.
Sure.
You're going to find people you're not going to trust at RIAs.
Sure.
But the formal difference between the two is what's called a fiduciary standard. So we as RIAs, registered investment advisors, we do have a fiduciary standard to do what is in the client's best interest. Brokerage firms who often provide many of the same services that we do in some form or fashion do not have that fiduciary standard. They have just a responsibility more to their employer to be profitable and just sell you something that is suitable for you.
It's a suitability standard, so, right, as opposed to a fiduciary standard.
So they really have more of a responsibility to their company, mm-hmm, as far as making money for their company, but not doing it in a way that is unsuitable to you. Well, that's a pretty loose definition. You know, the classic definition or example is that you sell, you know, an older individual an annuity simply because they're a retired person and you can get away with saying that an annuity is suitable. Mm-hmm. Whereas we don't, you know, we don't tend to sell annuities, but even if we did, we would look at someone's
sure
situation in life and money before you would propose anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the annuity conversation is interesting. We were talking about that before we got on the air here, that none of this is to say that all brokers aren't appropriate, all insurance agents who are licensed don't know what they're doing or would act inappropriately. To your point,
right,
Charlie, I mean, there are plenty of advisors that may not be a good fit for you for various reasons, but how they're compensated matters, right?
And
I
it does.
Think, you know, understanding up front and asking some questions, how do you get paid? Do you get paid because you're giving me good advice, or do you get paid regardless of whether the advice turns out to be good or not?
Right, and the broker model actually gets paid more the more often that they have you trade. Now, churning, I think they've addressed directly, and
sure,
if you had somebody, a broker that gave you advice that you should buy and sell very frequently, then you're probably gonna have a problem with that particular individual.
Yeah, brokers tend to sell ideas. You know, mm-hmm, you're gonna get a lot of phone calls with here's the, you know, hot stock of this month, or
right,
you know, whatever the financial product might be. If we sell anything here, we're selling retirement plans. right. and futures and, you know, financial stability to clients. And we fill that with a number of different investments, but what we're trying to deliver is a plan.
Right.
Well, and versus a product, right? The nature of the solution that's put forward is important to consider. And I want to say even this, that there are people on the radio, on Atlanta radio, that the solution to your problem is a product. And I just think it's important that we say that that's dangerous. It's real dangerous, if not wrong. Now, does that say that products are wrong? You're going to need some products. Look, if it's an annuity, an insurance policy, if you're being told that product is your plan, you should be concerned. That's just not smart to do, because products aren't the solution. Products need to be used appropriately, wisely, very carefully, inside the context of a plan that's put together.
Yeah, and we use various products for various pieces of plans. Anytime one product is the solution for the whole plan, that is definitely a red flag.
Well, right, and it's, again, this is not to demonize any type of product. I mean, there are appropriate use cases for many things, but it's the when someone has a hammer and everything starts looking like a nail, that's typically when there's a problem.
Right. Well, a couple of good resources that you can go to kind of flesh out who you might be meeting with would be, you can go to BrokerCheck. You can just go into Google, and that's going to pull up a FINRA website, if I have that correct. And you can type in the name of a registered representative. You can get some, if they had any history, compliance violations or complaints from clients, that would show up there. That's a good place to start for firms. For registered investment advisors, best place to go is what's called their Form ADV Part 2. It's really the whole history of the firm. We post ours on our website. Not every RIA posts theirs on their website, but you can acquire them online with a little bit of digging. That gives you bios of management, fee structures, the services they offer.
Sure. Yeah, you can learn a lot about the firm by just checking out their ADV.
And, when you take the next step and you do meet with someone and you're looking at, you know, what's a good fit, what's a bad fit, you know, think about it in the terms of, what would you do for yourself if time was not a problem? You know, if you could sit down and have a full-time job managing your own money and you knew what you were doing, well, then go find someone that's going to mirror that same type of service and philosophy. If they're going to do something that you're uncomfortable with, then you're probably better off looking for another professional.
Sure, yeah. You should be able to find somebody that's going to create a plan and a portfolio that matches whatever it is that your desires and meets your goals.
Well, I think that's good. You know, I mean, like I said, it comes up a lot. I know we get asked the question, appropriately so. It's obvious, it's actually encouraging when we have new potential clients call us and sit down and they want to know up front. They're asking good questions. So how do you guys get paid? How do you think about putting a plan in place? What are your philosophies? All these things are important. And it's the type of things that you need to look into. But, and of course, we don't think we're too bad at it here. So by all means, if you're looking for a good advisor, by all means, be sure and give us a call. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Money Talks. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.